Welcome back, everybody. Boy, is this a great episode with a brilliantly funny comedian, Ruby Setnick. This is her second episode of the DTFH. I've been taking her on the road. If you have a chance to see her out there, you must go see her perform. She is a star. And you can see her perform this upcoming weekend. We will be performing at the Emerald City Comedy Club in Seattle. You can find tickets at DuncanTrussell.com. And now, everybody, welcome Ruby Setnick. Ruby, good to see you.
You too.
You know what? We were talking about this before the podcast, but I think I have a way to connect it to something I'd love to talk to you about.
Okay.
All right. So I mentioned this earlier. One of my kids likes that MGMT song that...
Rewind.
Boop, 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 boop. And so... You know, you hear songs over and over.
Yeah.
But you don't ever really explore the band or the song or
yes.
anything about it. But it's
yes.
it's omnipresent for
yes.
a while. So I'm like, what the fuck is that song? And like I found out the craziest thing. MGMT were like two friends from college and they're into weird fucking music. Like they're into like psychedelic, like 70s music and stuff. And so, yeah, pull up MGMT college performance. Yeah. So look at this. This is like before they really broke out. Now, I wish we could play the music. I guess we can. Whatever. Just play. Just check it out. Oh, wait. That's not it, Josh. That's a different song. Go back to the song that they... Kids, that's it. You might have to skip forward. So this, I'm pretty sure is like pre-fame. They're at Harvard. They've been playing music in like, you know, frat houses.
Are they Harvard students?
I think so. It's so cool. Now imagine.
It also feels like they're karaokeing their own song.
I could be. They might have already been famous. I'm not sure. But I, you know, they were, what I read is they're in college together. I don't know the exact timeline here.
Oh, yeah. They look young.
They're young. So this song, which you couldn't go anywhere in Los Angeles without hearing that song for like at least a year. Had already gotten popular around Harvard. People were listening to it. And then they go on tour with, I don't know, an already established band. And then after that tour, whatever happened on the tour, their experience of touring, they were like, done. All right, we're done. One of them was maybe going to become a guitarist for the band.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody from Columbia Records
mm-hmm.
saw them.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, hey, we got to do an album. And that song, they wanted that song on the album. And they're like, no, we are so done playing that song. We wrote that song
as a joke.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I do know this about MGMT.
They just wanted to make pop music. And they were like, I think it's easy to make a hip pop music song. And they make it. And it becomes one of the most famous songs.
Isn't that so frustrating?
And they have to play it forever. What started is like a just, you know, yeah. eye-roll-y. Like.
They went on to do that a few more times. Like they ended up in these, and I could be wrong about this, but I believe they ended up in like a contract that they didn't like and they felt spiteful about it. And so they were like, we have to write this additional album. So they just like jerked off and made like something that they thought was a joke. And then it was again a very successful
yes
like amazing piece of art.
They're like, oh, you want me to make trash?
Yeah, we'll
you
make
want me to trash
it?
The people like, yeah, okay, we'll fucking do that. And Columbia Records is like, great.
Yeah.
Oh, hurt our feelings. No, please don't make popular music.
Well, it's like when assholes try their best And when geniuses try their worst, I think it makes about the same type of thing. Oh, it like gets, they just make middle of the road accessible stuff.
Yes. Yes. And so they released an album, which is what they wanted to make. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's not as popular. They knew it wasn't going to be as popular. The fans who like, you know, would play this at sorority houses or whatever the fuck, they were horrified at the music that they made. That album is actually really good.
Yeah.
And, but, so, do you ever think about that, like, you don't want to be judgmental. You don't want to be cynical. But sometimes you sort of, you do look out at the world and you realize, like, I think if I just had some kind of like, I don't know, some combination of endurance and greed that I could emulate pop culture, what's popular, chameleon myself into that and produce something, not because I want to make it, but for them it was satirical. But do you ever get that feeling of like, you have to choose when you're making art between authenticity and commercialism. And do you think that there is a middle ground between the two? Or
I think unless you're constantly questioning yourself, you slip to the easiest one. And the easiest one is always the one that is the commercialized. Like I think the way that I experience it is like there's the path that's already been stomped on, you know, and then there's the one that you make yourself. And it's, you always end up on the one that's been stomped on, and you have to tear yourself away from it, I think. Unless you're like a singular person who like the only path, you insist on being yourself all the time. I'm not like that. I will chameleon.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that rude people have confused their rudeness with authenticity. I think and sometimes people think that like manners means being a sellout or something like that, or just general basic sensitivity to people around you.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you're inauthentic.
Yeah.
You know, but don't you think though, in some way, like it's harder to do the commercial stuff. Like, in other words, like if you're just, it's, there is something, I mean, easy, not commercial maybe, or profitable about making the things you want to make in the world.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But wouldn't you say like abandoning all that bullshit and just being like, you know what, I'm going to make something because I'm tired of, I want to fly around in private planes. I want health insurance. I don't want
to. Oh, I think I get what you're saying. I think that, yes, what you're saying is correct. Like, it's easier. It's like intuitively easier to be yourself in, like, as a baby, like the most like actual version of yourself, like the most truthful. Yes, that is like the easiest thing. But it's a hard thing to do. It's harder to listen to the easy voice, if that makes sense. Like, the voice that's telling you actually who you are and what you should be doing is softer and calmer. And the voice that is fucking freaking out is telling you to make it, is giving you bad advice. It's not like the trustworthy voice, but it's definitely the louder voice.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to slip into a harder life, ultimately, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yes, it is. Yeah. And what a nightmare.
What a nightmare.
And because the very last thing you want is to be well received as something you're not.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it hurts. But people convince themselves that, and that's why I think, that's what I'm talking about you have to constantly be interrogating yourself, because I think you forget what you want from it in the first place. You know what I mean? Because like the only way to do anything is to just is doing it. That's the thing, right?
Right.
But there's so many peanuts around it, especially like with stand up, like what we do. But with anything, like any art form, anytime you're like expressing yourself, there's so much stuff around it that could trick you and you think that's the thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's actually just the business.
Yeah.
Which is so not, which is so a different thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I can make, I can go live in the woods and be funny. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I, and it's just as good.
Right.
If not better, you know?
Well, yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. That is the, like, I, one of the easy mistakes you can make when you're, you know, consuming art, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
is you can accidentally imagine that this is an actual meritocracy in the sense that you see whoever and you think that person has to be the funniest person or the most talented singer or the most or the best actor.
Yeah.
And you just will never know.
No.
All those, all the people in America, in the world who are infinitely better than the best singer, your favorite singer.
But they won't make Instagram.
They won't make Instagram.
But you'll never know about them.
You'll never know about
it's
them.
It's tragic.
But it's awesome,
it's
too.
It's amazing.
Do they think it's tragic, though? A lot of those people.
No, I think it's tragic that they don't. I think that art at its best is like someone is expressing something truthful about themselves in an intelligent way so that it's delivered. It has to, it does at some point, I think, need to be delivered because the best possible end result of that is like catharsis and
right.
people don't feel so alone. And
right.
that's good. Like it's like art is like a connective experience. It like brings people,
right.
it like makes them okay with stuff that they're shameful about.
Yeah.
And it's a conversation, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's good when good art reaches a lot of people. But that being said, I don't think that that's good for good artists all the time. And
oh,
it's usually
yeah.
really bad for them.
Right.
And it's, and that path, like the getting it through, it's all, and it's all, it's like under capitalism, I think is actually the ultimate issue. It always kind of turns into that. Or
yeah.
it has to, if it's like massively produced, you know?
Right. You know
so
what?
It's
that
strange.
That brings us to something you've showed me, one of my favorite things, which I have watched so many times now. Do you remember the name? Do you remember the name of how I could find it on YouTube easily? It's Elliot Smith
Morning Interview.
Elliot Smith Morning Interview. You know what? If like they demonetize us, it's fine, man. We'll just,
just
we kind of have to play it. So this is so Ruby sends this to me when we're on the road. I don't remember why we were talking about Elliot Smith, but so this is actually in L.A. is what Aaron said. This is in L.A. Mm-hmm. But somehow Elliot Smith ends up on this show. Elliot Smith, the gloomy bard of like the indie gloomy minstrel, ends up on this fucking crazy morning show. And just play it. It's the craziest shit I've ever seen.
His CD is entitled, not surprisingly, Elliot Smith. And it is on, now this is an intriguing label. Is this, I mean, getting this right? Kill rock stars?
Right, yeah. It's a punk label.
Feeling a little hostile, are we, Elliot?
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Oh, not your label? Oh, okay.
I wish it was.
Yeah, so back off.
You wish it was? Now, you say that...
Can you pause it for a second,
loud,
Josh?
But it tends to be
just because we just... Okay, so, you know, the lead up to Easter is Lent. Right.
Yeah. I know about that.
So Jesus goes out in the desert to be tempted
yeah.
to pray.
Yeah.
Buddha goes and is met with like Mara prior to enlightenment.
Yeah.
And whenever I've pictured Satan in the desert, sinister force, Mara also sinister, dark, but
yeah,
I'm pretty sure like, this is what the devil looks like.
This morning, this fucking guy.
This is like what if I. This is more akin to what Lucifer is than anything I've ever seen.
You seem a little hostile, Elliot.
And this is some bizarre. It's not the first, and it won't be the last. But this is the beginning of several humiliation rituals
mm-hmm.
that any artist is going to have to go through.
Morning time TV. And I like the Satan metaphor because every time I've done it, I've felt like it was hell. And I couldn't imagine life after it.
Yes.
Or before it. Like when you're in it, it's like, it feels like eternal suffering.
It feels crazy. And you know what they're calling this shit now is legacy media, because this is like this is a lineage that Lucifer here is part of, a lineage that has its roots in like just some, like in what used to be new technology and censorship and this idea of, you know, this guy, I mean, I don't know who he is. Maybe I'm wrong, but probably if you're doing a morning show or whatever the fuck this is, you're not thinking about authenticity. No. You're thinking, I got to get numbers to sell ads to make money. It's never even occurred to you that any of the shit we're talking about, you're just like, you've crystallized as part of this monolithic gatekeeping mechanism that in general will filter people like Elliot Smith. Mm-hmm. How many people more talented than Elliot Smith did one of these and was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going back under the fucking bridge, dude.
Oh,
I'm
yeah. Not well, and this. This is such, and there's such duality. It feels like you're like making a cockroach hang out in the sunlight, you know?
And, yeah,
like in the most beautiful way, like in the most loving way.
Very talented.
Yeah, he's like fucking squirming in his dark hoodie and his purple hair. You
a
know?
Talented cockroach who loves heroin. Yeah. Now let's keep playing.
Angry.
Yeah, some of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you? Would you classify? Because I mean, this is sort of a circus-like environment to drag you into at this hour of the morning. And I'm wondering if there's a potential that any of us might come to physical harm.
No, I don't think.
What's he fucking talking about?
Okay.
Meanwhile, there's like a cyborg lady behind him. It looks like they're. I've seen like
she's so needlessly beautiful too. Why is she so gorgeous?
Gorgeous yet uncanny valley quality. And then you have some. Let's pause again. By the way, it's like that fucking puppet behind him. Yeah, if you just glance at it, you could be like, all right, it's a. Terrified. If I show that to my kids, they would scream. You know what I mean? That's the puppet.
I never noticed that. It has a rotten tooth and a black eye.
Dude, yeah. And I don't mean to get conspiratorial here, but Josh, before we play this, pull up the Black Eye Club. You know about this, Ruby? Mm-mm. Images. Find that montage people made.
What is this?
Oh, there it is. It's down there. There it is. So all these people, you ever gotten a black eye?
No.
Me either. All these, see the Black Eye Club who is punching them on Instagram? This is a really funny conspiracy theory, which is all of these famous people, politicians and powerful people, can you enlarge any of those? They all have black fucking eyes. They go, it's like they all get black eyes and people think that there's some initiatory mechanism.
Oh, you get punched in one of your eyes?
And yeah, they punch the shit out of you to like when you get in the club.
Hmm.
I know. So go back. Let's look at that puppet. I'm telling you, Ruby. Look, Black Eye Club. This is the beginning. Okay. It's showing him. This is them inviting him in. He represents a recently initiated. And you almost look at that puppet and you're like, is that puppet like Elliot Smith? All right, now press play.
No, it's not. It's not really folk, but it's sort of like.
What's the symbolism of that?
Can I just feel like that, because obviously that we talked about that. It's like you couldn't write that in a movie. You know what I mean? If someone was going to die by probably suicide later on, that is how you would foreshadow it. And it feels like, and I said this to you, because whenever I watch this, it feels like a recording of just a nightmare that Elliot is having about his own life, you know?
This is like the, as he's dying, this is like he hallucinates this.
This is the hallucination, which is why I feel this is the type of shit that makes me believe in God a little bit. It's like, this is the type, because it all feels like we're in this big dream soup, you know?
Yes.
And like things are just like mirroring each other. It's way too poetic and it's way too writ to feel random, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And to be like you're getting jeered and mocked at, and he's having to just, whatever he's doing right now is like, he's beginning to like, this is the same thing that happened to MGMT. This is like MGMT realizing like they're good. This song that they made mocking pop music will become what they're known for forever. Yeah. And he's also, I think, recognizing like that this is his future. This is at least a year of doing shows like this. He's probably thinking a little bit about his publicist right there. He's like, I'm paying this bitch $15,000 a month and she sent me to this fucking piece of shit. Why is he asking me that? How do I react to this? All right, let's hit play.
I don't know, it just looked good.
Yeah. The stunt people didn't think so. What do you guys think from the CD?
They're all like, holy shit, he's so good.
Shut them up.
I know.
Look at this guy. He's regretting everything he said.
Everything he said.
She's like, look at her. All of them.
Cyber Babe is just, I don't know. I'm so confused by Cyber Babe.
I don't think here in 2025 we can call her Cyber Babe.
That's what he called her. Cyber Babe. It's Josh, pull up like sex.
Pull up sex.
Josh, pull up sex robot. Sex android. I mean, is that what she was going for? Because for a second, that's an android. Pull up the real doll. Right there. This. I mean, like.
I wouldn't click on that website.
Real? SiliconDolls24.com.
I guess it's okay.
So go back to Cyber Babe. One more over.
She does have uncanny valley.
She's kind of uncanny
valley. But that's kind of what happens. When someone is very beautiful, they don't look real. They become not attractive, in my opinion.
I
don't like people in New York.
I just noticed that there were moments where she, send me that website, Josh.
Josh, save that website.
But this, it's crazy that in our world, there is this bizarre boundary between us finding out about people like that mm-hmm. and people like that. A mm-hmm. terrible maze mm-hmm. that has to be navigated. There's no way around it.
Mm-hmm.
And the gatekeepers within that maze mm-hmm. are like just like that guy making fun of this tortured genius. Mm-hmm. Not all of them are like that, but there's just all these, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Why are we creating? Why is this built in? You're saying capitalism?
I do think that that's the thing that you're getting at. It's like the way that you make something happen is that it has to have money around it. That's when it's just commercial. That's literally what it is, I think, right? Like, I don't really have the vocabulary to describe what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, right.
But like that you force it to be something that it's not because it has to be palatable enough to sell. You know what I mean? It has to be succinct enough to sell or describable enough to sell.
Yeah.
And so it changes. Its nature has to change, right?
It has to be packaged.
Get packaged, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
It has to be succinct.
And you need... And it all seems quite logical, you know, in the sense that, because this is the way it's always been.
Yeah.
When you start find yourself contending with that, you're not, even though you are, you don't quite understand why it feels so fucked up that right. some of the things you're dealing with feel kind of crazy
right.
and fucked up. You are just thinking, but who the fuck am I to question this system? Like this, what am I? Who do I think I am that I should question the system that was the exact same system David Bowie went through, Mick Jagger went through.
Well, I don't know, but then you think about like, what's the difference if, because I know I said it's good for the art to reach more people, but I actually don't know if that's true. Because I think about like before the system kind of that we have now and like late stage capitalism and whatever. Like if we were in a small, how many people they always say, like 200 people in a community back in the early times, right? Like, and Elliot Smith was in our community, it would be fine. And he just live in the cave at the top of the mountain. And
right.
we leave, you know, cheese and dead goats for him.
Yeah.
And every once in a while he'd crawl out and he'd
play
grab
a song.
It and he'd play a song and we'd think about it
yeah.
for a year. You know what I mean? And yeah. it would be fine.
Yeah.
That would just be the world. But now it's like you have to like take someone like Elliot Smith and the market economy and like smash them together.
Yeah.
Of course it looks disgusting and strange, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I would argue like that is what it's like anytime you take like the mushy human form and try to like make it work in like a bureaucratic system, you know.
Well, yeah,
it's like a weird thing.
It's like when you get a call from the phone company after your mom died.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
they're like you know, they're really late on the bill.
It's like the pin pad transaction after you have a child or whatever.
Exactly. Oh my God. That is the, exactly. That's
bill
the
ya.
Craziest collision of things,
yeah.
which is you, when your wife is, when your partner's about to give birth.
Yeah.
And you're terrified.
No.
Josh, pull up my Aaron giving birth second child.
Josh, pull up the robot sex.
Hour three. Pull up robot giving birth.
Pull up robot giving birth.
Can
now.
You pull up a robot giving birth, Josh?
Okay.
Actually, see if you can find that.
Okay. Okay, I will.
But yeah, that's the you know, the hospital attitude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Victoria.
Pregnant robot gives birth. This is we've got to fetish porn. That's fetish
porn. Let's pull that up, Josh.
Go ahead and pull that up, Josh.
Meet Victoria.
Wrong one.
Meet Victoria. She blinks, breathes, and bleeds.
She's fucked
just
up.
Like you. She's also pregnant and about to undergo an emergency C-section. Victoria, how are you feeling?
I'm not feeling well.
No. Why'd they put a ghost of a Victorian child inside of that pregnant robot doll?
I'm sure everything will be fine.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Victoria is a top-of-the-line patient simulator.
I think
that... And this is a crisis exercise.
Can you pause it, Josh? Pull up a sex robot, please, Josh. I just want to point something out here. Sex robot. Yeah, pull up that, any of those. That's good. That's actually, that's based on the crew that went up to space. Isn't that interesting how quickly they made that? Isn't that cool? Actually, that's them. That's Jeff Bezos' office. They're,
they look like they're in birthing position.
But okay, now pull up the pregnant top of the line robot again. And let's do a compare and contrast. Go back to that. Are you going to tell me that's top of the line? Go back to the sex robot. How the fuck can they do that? And you've got this, like, it's a mannequin. Somebody put a tape recorder in a mannequin head. And
they did put a recorder in a head.
I don't feel it! Okay, keep playing. I want to see it give birth. What's weird is it gives birth to a real baby.
Different roles in a multidisciplinary way. Nurses can be doctors. Doctors can be nurses. Novices learn how to manage crisis without the fear of harm to the patient.
This is all real functioning medical equipment, and Victoria responds to everything as a human would, with a little help from someone just beyond
I
the
don't have insurance!
Glass, who controls Victoria's
I can't
symptoms
afford this.
And responses wirelessly via laptop.
Sometimes we come in here and we don't know the scenario. And it's like a real life situation. Having an environment like this where we can.
Oh my
learn,
God.
I could have done better, man. What the fuck? Oh my God.
You know, I think actually what could be really good for society is if we changed out the sex robots to have that face.
Oh, can you?
And her to have the sex robots.
Can you imagine? Go back to the robot babies. Look at this. Oh my God. That'd be a fun prank.
That's accurate, though. That's what the fucking,
that's what exactly what they look like.
As realistic as
this mouse
possible.
Is crazy.
And Victoria has a family. Other life-sized patient simulators.
Adult males do have amputated limbs that actively bleed. Our pediatric simulators can simulate bee stings or anaphylaxis, things that a parent would normally experience.
Wow.
And down to actually premature infants.
And when things go well, Victoria delivers a baby.
I want to hear her talk one more time.
Tori.
As you can hear, Victoria's baby cries and feels and moves like a real infant.
That thing's haunted.
Within 5 minutes of Victoria's baby being born, we've injected it with 17 different vaccines and sprayed poison in its eyes.
Oh my God.
But that is definitely another example of this collision between eternal beauty and whatever the fuck
we're doing right now,
which we are calling late stage capitalism. But
yeah,
don't you think calling it late stage capitalism is kind of optimistic?
Because it's about to end. Yeah. Or that's the implication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like people who say that have some fantasy. This is late stage.
That is my fantasy.
Opening phase capitalism.
Oh, God.
Why do you think it's late phase?
Because I don't think it can sustain itself. I don't think you can have this much misery. I don't know, but I'm brand new and I don't read the news and I don't even read at all.
You don't. I call it that just as a term of convenience because you want to come up with like some, you want to name whatever it is.
The thing is.
So you say late stage.
Yeah.
And then I get yelled at because it's like capitalism. You don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about you shouldn't mix up classism with capitalism or something. Like capitalism is just a method of exchanging goods and services.
Yeah.
It's not.
I guess the idea is that once it gets past a certain stage, it always turns into a class issue.
Yeah, Marxism. That's like Marxism's. Yeah. That's the Marxist critique of capitalism, yeah.
I think so.
It's pretty much like you just the way that's going to work is how would you say it? It's like you've deprioritized the worker.
Yeah.
And prioritized the person who owns the means of production. You deprioritize the person living in the house and prioritize the person owning the house the people are living in. And because of that, the money or the way that you, whatever the symbol set is for the transactions flows up, not down. It's always going to be a bad deal. And so therefore at some point, I think Marx did say that it can't sustain itself. It will end.
Yeah.
But
I'm hopeful that it's all going to.
Well, what do you replace it with?
I don't know. I guess, and this is the thing is whenever I complain about, like fascism or whatever the thing is. Whenever I complain about that, people are like, well, all systems are bad. All systems are
fascism.
Oh, yeah,
that's a weak argument.
I know. But I feel like that's always what I get when I like complain about conservatism. They're like, oh, well, everything's fascism eventually. It's like, okay, well, then we should talk about that because that's a problem too. You know what I mean?
I think it's more of a problem of definitions.
Yeah.
I'm never gonna do it, but I've honestly this is like ideas I don't do on the podcast, but I really did kick around the idea of finding some body to play an actual Nazi fascist who is offended that the term Nazi is being used so liberally. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like I do think like Hitler and the Nazis would take offense that a lot of like what they might view as
that we're using Nazi derogatorily.
That is not that's you're totally wrong about National Socialism. Whatever the fuck that is not national. That's not us.
Yeah.
And fascism too. I think it's just I think what's happening is muddled terms. And in that, and also what's happening on both sides is an immediate rejection of interrogating what's happening. Like if just the very act of looking around and being like, boy, it feels like there's a better way to do this.
Well, I think just like the primary emotion in society and like in my personal life lately, feels like anger. And when I was like a young person, a younger, way younger person, I always felt like anger wasn't like a, like if the metaphor is like primary colors and secondary colors,
yeah,
like anger is not a primary emotion. It's a secondary emotion. It's always a result of a more a primary emotion being suppressed, and then that turns into anger.
Oh, wild.
I don't, I'm not getting that from anything. It's just how I've always felt.
As a parent, let me tell you.
You don't
think. Anger
yeah.
is a primary emotion.
I think you can trick yourself. Like, you don't realize, because you think, because the babies are feeling upset.
Yeah, they're unfiltered and they get mad.
But it's because the need isn't being met, and the need represents a more primary emotion. Or, oh, like, it's right. It's like anger is like sadness over time that isn't being dealt with, you know?
You know,
and for a baby, yeah. the time scale is smaller.
They so, just like, get pissed.
It just gets right to pissed.
They get pissed, and because it's just a way of, you know, the problem with anger, and I get why people,
yeah,
it's so dangerous because some people feel like they're malfunctioning if they're angry or something must be off with me or I shouldn't express it or, you know, the expression of anger in an yeah. unbridled way is yeah. a failure as a human.
Yeah.
And then you just get the repressed, you get people who stuff all their anger down.
Yeah.
And then, like, it comes out in surprising moments at yeah. weird times.
Totally. And I think I don't trust it. Like, whenever anybody's, like, really angry about something, I think that there's something underneath it. Like, something, like, when it, like I get that the trans stuff is hard and it takes people a while to warm up to new ideas. But whenever guys are, like, super angry about, like, trans women, I'm like, oh, that's what you jerk off to. That's the only way. Can come, I think. You know what I mean?
I mean, I'm not arguing with you here, but like I it is impossible for me to jerk off and not be angry. No matter
that's exactly
at.
My point. I think that like
furious.
I think that like horniness for men, it makes them because it takes up so much of men's time and so much of their thoughts that whatever it is that they jerk off to makes them angry. Because they wish that they could read a book. You know what I mean? They wish they could take a walk.
That's why I jerk off to books.
That's, yeah,
I just library
it's
pictures.
It's fucking disgusting.
I can't read.
I can't borrow books from you.
I can't read. That's why I'm so angry at books. But the
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
No, I think what you're talking about is really, like, I love thinking these things. Because I, like, it's the deconstruction of whatever the current cultural obsessions are in yeah. the positive and the negative, yeah. like having the courage, not just to like analyze why this is wrong to me,
yeah.
but then why is it right to them?
Yeah.
Put yourself in their shoes, whatever it may be, or high heels in some people's case. Like yeah. put your, like try to take all of your potentially justifiable critiques of something that you sure. have seen. Don't even worry about the sources. Let's just take your sources, whatever they are, even though if you've been getting shit from like some slanted algorithm, fuck it. Just let's imagine all that's real.
Yeah.
But then do you have the ability to go to the other side?
Yeah.
And completely understand that side too and why?
Yeah.
And because even if they're wrong,
yeah.
let's take something a little less like culturally relevant.
Sure.
Witch burning.
Yeah.
That was real.
Yeah.
You would find a woman.
Yeah.
Drag her out of her house.
And just burn her.
You torture her first.
Yeah.
You'd get her, you torture her until she admitted.
Yeah.
That she would like kissed a goat's ass under the full moon and had been casting spells on the village. And then you would incinerate her.
Yeah.
And so we hear that.
Yeah.
And we're like, wow. People were so fucking stupid back then.
Yeah.
And, but they weren't doing it like LARPing.
Yeah. And you can't blame, because the instinct is to be like, well, it's the fucking phones. And I do think that that adds like a lubricant to like mob mind and stupidity. It's easier to hate through the cell phone. That's not a new thing to say. And I'm reminded of it all the time, kind of, with what I do and the people that I meet. But like, we've always been worse as a group. like we used to burn women because they read books. You know what I mean? Like, we used to get together in the town, not because of Facebook, not because like Instagram, not because of like a dirty algorithm or Zuckerberg or whatever, but we as a group with our feet on earth after a long day of thinking all day, we just had all day to think and work, decided it was time to burn a woman at 6 p.m. after supper, which was made out of grains. We didn't have plastics in our brains. We've always been a flawed species.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
And like, it's when you look back at, or you watch some, like, I don't know, there was a great movie, The Witch, I think. When you look back at like any
The Witch.
When you look back at whatever those moments are.
Yeah.
So at least when I do that, you don't realize that those people actually thought they had to do that. They believed they had to do that. There was a real sense of, this is the right thing to do.
Well, yeah, and I think it takes a special type of autism to go against the grain. You know, you always have the people, there are always the people who like hide the Jews or like are like, actually, I have slaves, but I don't think it's good. You know what I mean? There are like these people who go against the grain, and they're weird and they're one-offs because they, whatever thing in their brain is different, and they're not as susceptible to like the weirdness of the group mind that allows us to treat people really horribly, you know?
You know, the current Pope, the late Pope, he was controversial, right?
I do know that, but I don't know a lot about it.
Pull up Pope.
Pull up the
takes
sex
question
robot.
From sex robot.
Sex
pull
Pope?
Pull up Pope takes question from non-binary teen. See if we can find it. Scroll down, I'll know when I see it. Pope takes, maybe they might have actually said queer. Pope takes question from
like a queer.
Pope takes question from twink. Queer twink. Pope takes question from queer twink. It was like,
Pope graciously takes a question from a fucking queer.
Well, it wasn't what you would expect if you, play just any of those. Like, this is why people got pissed off.
Ser homosexual no es un delito. Es una condición humana. Somos todos hijos de Dios.
Oh, wait, I should read this. Go back to the beginnings of people who don't speak Italian are like, what? He's saying being homosexual isn't a crime. It's a human condition. We are all children of God, and God loves us as we are. And for the strength that each one of us has to fight for our dignity, being homosexual is not a crime. It's not a crime. Let's make this distinction first between sin and crime, but it's also a sin to lack charity with one another. So what about that? So, that. It was like a lot of people like, no, you can't fucking say that. And, I've been watching all these things with this particular Pope, and, it's the, like, I don't know if he was like a saint, but the consistency in what he was saying over and over and over again was, God loves you. Mm-hmm. And this divisive mode of thinking between people is, he didn't say it like this, but is fucking everything up.
Yeah.
And he was like, just always, you know, some kid, you know, a Catholic kid who's like, I guess gay, or I don't know what he's calling himself, but you know, asked the Pope about this, and his response was, these people who are saying this stuff that you're asking about are, he called them infiltrators. And so there you have the fucking Pope.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, that is, you know, one of the great Christian leaders on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Which is why when he died, Marjorie Taylor Greene, pull up that shit Marjorie Taylor Greene posted after the Pope died.
On Twitter?
I think it was on Twitter. Today, there are major shifts in global leaderships. Evil is being defeated by the hand of God.
Wow.
That evil mm-hmm. that she is talking about mm-hmm. is a guy who is saying we have to find a way to love each other for our differences.
Yeah, it's really simple. Well, I think that because it's interesting and I've been curious about
I know you like Marjorie Taylor Greene, and this wasn't a personal attack.
No, I've been curious about organized religion as a way of imposing structure upon yourself in like a good way. Like being a person who has like morals and values and like reads a book and sits in a room every week with a group of people facing the same direction and thinking about God. And I think it's good. And I've felt frustrated in the past, like when I was a younger person, I would have frustrations of like, why do people need God to be good? And like all of these questions. But now I'm like, I need a father. You know what I mean? Like it is like, but anyways, the point is that I've been learning about Catholicism and it's more optimistic than I understood. Cause like yeah. there's the Lutheran thing of like grace in, if you're Lutheran, grace is like, the metaphor is that it's like you're basically cow shit and you're bad by being on earth and being human. You're bad.
Original sin.
And then grace is like the way that you paint yourself so that God's view of you is good, so that he just has a good thing to look at. Like he has a good view out of his window. It's like the snow on the cow shit that makes it just like nice for God to look at you. Whereas Catholicism is more like you're born onto the earth. You're beautiful and you're made of love and you're perfect, but then you're born. And that's a bit of a tumble.
Yeah.
You tumble and it bruises you up and you get fucked up.
Yeah.
Just by being born.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And then life is about redemption.
Yeah.
And so the way that I've been thinking about that is that, like, from the Catholic perspective, but this isn't even about Catholicism. It's about a way of looking at things and people, which is that, like, everything is misery. And then love is just the way through it.
Yeah.
Kind of. And that is beautiful.
It
and
is
I like
beautiful.
That. And the only way that I've ever found optimism to be palatable is in a box of pessimism. And I've talked to you about that. I think that's what makes you great, is that you make hope palatable by like being kind of like funny and shitty and like sarcastic around it. And then in underneath that, you're saying something hopeful. And that's the only way that you can take it. Otherwise, it's just not believable.
Yeah, well, I do think that's, I agree with you. And I think, of course, of all the things, of like Christianity in general is so misunderstood. But of course, Catholicism is going to be misunderstood.
Yeah, because it's culty.
Yeah, and it's like it's strict, it's formal, it's, you know, it can be, depending on what mass you go to, mm-hmm. it can be boring as fuck.
It is really boring. It's not like church where
there's all kinds of sort of like aspects to it where, you know, you look at like these mega churches and, you know, it's like some kind of insane Broadway production. It's trying to like keep you entertained.
Yeah.
Whereas Catholicism is not like that.
Have you
all.
Met a lot of because you're Catholic, so you've met
wife is Catholic.
Your wife is Catholic.
Yeah.
Have you met Catholic priests?
Yeah.
They're so charismatic.
They are.
Because they have to, because that's the job. And then some of them are like I met one recently who's like jacked. He's like jacked. And I realized, oh, that's the only way that they're trustworthy, actually.
Well, like if he wasn't jacked. You don't trust them if they're not ripped?
No, because then they're a pedophile. For sure. You know
wait,
what I mean?
Hold on a second. Everything
for
just
sure
fell apart.
They're fucking boys, so wait, if they're not jacked.
You're saying if the priest is not ripped, he's a pedophile?
Absolutely. Or he's fucking late. He's fucking someone. He's fucking someone.
Okay, help me out here.
If he's a priest and he's still a priest and he's doing his duty and he's not jacked, where is that energy going?
This is the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life. So, okay, wait. Walk me through. Okay, first, okay, let me just say, in the priest class in general, I don't mean just Catholicism, Episcopalians, mm-hmm. rabbis, I don't care who they are, shamans, gurus. One expectation I have never had is for them to have a six pack. I've never been like, dude, your shaman's
you'll
a
notice,
fucking weakling.
Now that I've told you this, you're going to notice that like 50% of them do. And the 50% of them that don't are probably pedophile. You're going to think to yourself, oh, yeah, he kind of seems like a pedophile. Because think about it, Duncan. If you had to just sit around with your balls all the time and you just couldn't come and you weren't working out, the cum has to go somewhere. It either goes into your
Why does it have
pack.
To be a kid?
No, not a kid.
There's so many things to fuck
no,
on
no,
the planet.
No. It's not that he's a pedophile. I'm just saying that he's not being a good priest if he's not working out. And then they tend to do pedophilia.
Have you
I'm not
ever heard anything
necessary.
Like this before?
Do you understand the point that
Jesus
I'm making?
Jesus was ripped.
Jesus was ripped.
Jesus was not ripped.
So my Jesus was.
I should pull up a picture. Pull up. There are ripped Jesuses. Pull up.
But this is why it becomes a thing in. When people choose to like sexually
go.
Repress themselves. It
There's
gets
your
out
Christ.
In a weird way.
There's Ruby's
not
Jesus.
A pedophile. And I'll stand by that. And I stand by that. Jesus is not a pedophile. You can quote me on that.
Look.
Pull up the sex robot.
Look. That's your God.
Because he's dealing with his abstinence correctly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
That's what I mean.
Okay.
Like if I'm saying that it's not one or the other, but there's a spectrum of being a pedophile to being jacked within priesthood.
The one critique of pretty much all forms of monastic Christianity, especially even Jesus that I've heard, which is kind of tough to argue with, is it's like if you don't have such relationships,
yeah,
are such a huge part of the human experience, like yeah. knowing intimacy at that level is such a huge part of the human experience. And so the argument is like, don't you need to know the full spectrum of what it is to like be a human being if you're going to offer
any sort of advice or counsel
to people, you mm-hmm. know, like you don't you need that? And that and this has I think been a debate mm-hmm. in the Catholic Church, hasn't it, Josh? Aren't the priests always sort of, isn't there some faction of the Catholic Church that is pushing towards non-celibacy yeah. laws.
Yes. Church. I mean, look it up.
But there's an argument, too, that like when they have a clearer perspective on human relationships because
it changed.
The AI overview, you guys, is not trustworthy. It's word salad.
Go down to clerical celibacy in the Catholic Church. Let's scroll down a little bit. In February 2019, the Vatican acknowledged that the policy has not always been adhered to and that rules have been secretly established by the Vatican to handle clergy who violated their vows of celibacy. Some clergy have been allowed to retain their clerical status after violating their vows of celibacy and even after secretly marrying women. Prefect for the Congregation for Clergy, Cardinal Benjamino Stella, also acknowledged that child support and transfer have been two common ways for such clergy to maintain their clerical status. And yeah, so this is definitely, to me, seems like something that would benefit the church.
If the popes could fuck?
Well, yeah, if they could get married, if they could experience what it's like to, like,
yeah,
you know, be in a rough spot in a marriage, yeah, if they could experience what it's like to, you know, just all the stuff that goes, yeah, along with, like, marriage or dating, mm-hmm, or any of the stuff that the people that they're talking to are going, yeah, through, they, mm-hmm, would probably be more effective.
That makes sense. But at the same time, it's like, if you want effective, scientifically proven counsel, that's more the place of a therapist, I think. And...
You think so?
Yeah. But I mean, it's an issue because, like, within more, like, within, like, the conservatism that is, like, within, that is, like, people who go to church are more likely to not really buy into the practice of therapy or whatever because of the weird. But I think what I'm saying is, like, there is an argument to be made for, like, innocence leading to a type of knowledge. Like the way that, like, someone who's never written a song before, they don't know any of the rules. And so,
oh, yeah,
they are more likely to make a mistake that is something that's actually new,
right,
and maybe even more beautiful than if they do that if they're, like, classically trained or something.
Well,
so, like, there is something to be said about, like, it's like if a baby could talk.
I disagree with that. I think that, though, not to brag, I did study psychology in school, and I do
et cetera.
I do think that,
show them the certificate.
Where's my certificate?
This one's mine. I don't have yours.
What the fuck?
I think you
got to keep my certificate around. Hold on 1 second.
You got to keep my certificate around. Josh, you got
to
keep.
I apologize.
Put it on the wall.
My wife and I went to a priest and got some counseling.
Oh,
I loved it. He, yeah, said that I am the leader of the house. She needs to listen to me. And I was like, this is great.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Now, look.
Why'd you put your sunglasses?
Yeah, when I don't want my certificate, I put on my sunglasses. So this is a certificate, friends. This says, this certifies that Douglas Trussell is an expert in physics, computing, history, art, geopolitics, philosophy, etc.
It says etc. And it does say etc.
So anyone out there listening to this who, like, feels like I first of all, are you certified, Ruby?
No.
Okay.
Not an etc.
There we go. So, uncertified person talking. Certified person is now talking.
He printed this out. The paper is more thin than toilet paper.
Could I also point? Okay. All right. That's exactly what you're going to get from the uncertified. This is a blue ribbon. It's,
yeah,
blue. But you know what that means. First place. No, it does.
You're number one in certificates.
No, it means it's a
You're
real
number one in no, fake certificate
it's
making.
It's not fake. What,
it is fake.
Oh, really?
I just saw
can you
it
put
crumble.
Your hand, can you put your hand
you
through it?
You barely whispered.
It's clearly real.
What does that
real.
Mean?
It's taking up time space. So it's real. This is a real certificate. This is like totally, this, see,
you're
this is
you're such
where,
a shitbird about your certificate,
you
specifically.
Leftists. Here's the problem with the-
You're great.
This is
you're
the,
like a great guy. And
this is the disease
the
that has overtaken
out.
The modern- leftist is your postmodernist questioning of reality has led to literally I have a certificate right here holding it up. It blocks my face. Hello.
That doesn't make
so
sense.
Therefore this
what
is
do you
a
mean what do you real, mean hello
it literally says certificate.
Josh is holding it.
And Josh show them yours.
Well, they don't have a camera, but.
But mine says Josh that's a certificate. It says what is it, may I ask?
Yeah,
what does that say?
It says of expertise.
No, this right here.
It says certificate. I know it says certificate.
No, you didn't want to say it. Busted. It says certificate. Because you said this is not a certificate.
I didn't say that it is not a certificate.
You did. Josh, playback. Where
I said that it's thin paper.
No.
That
you
printed out.
You said this is not a certificate. It is. Oh, so what do you think? Where do they print certificates at?
I don't know. At
what
the
do you
printers
think they manifest?
At Harvard.
They appear once a person... No, this is a
it
real
says
certificate
et
of expertise, and I am an expert. But no, I think that.
But I see what you're saying. I don't want counsel from someone who's never had sex before, unless they're jacked, in which case I'm like, okay, you're dealing with your sperm. I'll talk to you.
But I think that maybe there's also like in like, you know, the modern sort of secular world, there is this rejection of the priest class, which has been a fundamental element in human society in some way, shape, or form. The mystic, the shaman, the whatever, yeah. And the spiritual advisor, way older than therapists.
Yeah.
And the in that the other thing that is like, especially with Catholicism or Christianity or any of these things, is like, until you participate in it, like, in you really, it's like licking the outside of a jar that has honey in it. You're not gonna, it's all gonna seem weird. None of it will make sense.
Yeah.
It will all seem justifiably so. Yeah. Or the critique of, you know, a lot of times when I get it, like when I'm like on Reddit and there's like the inevitable, you know, tap dancing on the grave of God, how awful, you know, this religion or that religion is. And I read the comments, you realize like, oh my, that Christianity that they are rejecting, if that was Christianity,
I'm also rejecting.
You should fucking reject that for real. And then you it's like, oh, they've sort of woven together a version of a thing that isn't even it.
Well, we don't do a lot of dramatic acknowledging without religion in society, that we don't have structures that sort of dramatically acknowledge the fucking misery of life. You know what I mean? It's all just like, it's okay, go to work, take care, it's gonna be, go to your thing, make sure to put your shoes on.
Yeah.
And at no point, unless you're going to church, is someone like, God's watching, this choir of children is singing beautifully and the candles are melting and we're all in a big room with high ceilings thinking about death.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I think it's good.
And then you get the deep, then the bottom drops out because that, you know, that's the craziest moment in like any kind of temple, but in Christianity where, I mean, I would reckon that unless you're born into it and really like got lucky with whoever was articulating it to you, you're rejecting it. And so, but for whatever reason, for a lot of people, it's quaint, it's interesting. Maybe you just feel like you want to be around people.
Yeah.
But you're still playing around the idea that this is just a quaint form of primitive, like, you know, imaginary. I'm not saying you're literally thinking that, but at some level, you might be like, okay, you're a little imaginary Jesus friend, but I kind of want to be around people.
Yeah.
And then it's like a fucking tiger pounces on you. And you feel something real, real. And
oh, then like the love of Jesus Christ.
And then you have to reckon with that. And that part of your mind that has been telling you that the default reality, secularist world is the most sophisticated form of human existence. Mm-hmm. It has to reckon with the experiential reality of whatever the particular thing is.
Yeah.
It's inevitably way older than some passing fashion.
Definitely.
And then you're fucked.
Yeah.
Now you're really fucked because it's like if the whole concept of interacting with reality is truth, we must live according to our own
truth. Yeah.
And then you experience something that doesn't is maybe the least cool thing. Mm-hmm. Loving Jesus.
Yeah.
That is not cool.
It's not punk rock.
That is so embarrassing. Like, really? And your smartest friends are going to, like, just be like, are you okay? Yeah. You need to get the fuck out of Texas.
Because you feel loving Jesus in you?
No, because you have to deal with, like, I mean, my own experience with that is it's embarrassing. Like, because for me, because
loving anybody's embarrassing, too.
Yeah, and now you're going to, like, act, and it's certainly not unique. It's one of the biggest world religions. But for me, it's just you have to deal with that part of you that thought this was bullshit and thought you were actually right. And, like, the majority of the planet was just drooling cultists.
Can you tell me, because right now my thing is that I feel guilty all the time. And what do you, from what you've learned in your long life of talking to interesting people, can I know your thoughts about like redemption and self-forgiveness?
Mm.
Do we have time for that?
Yeah.
Pull up the sex robot.
You can pull up the sex robot. Let me show you. It's a forgiveness bot and she is beautiful.
Thank you.
you know, I like doing, as I said, et cetera means comparative religion. I was in there, but I think a lot about Buddhism and Christianity these days, and trying to find some kind of where are the connecting points. And so in Christianity, there's going to be this growing recognition of what I would, I guess, like what you might call the most beautiful thing ever. Just incredible. Like, you know, if there's kings and queens and royalty and fame, all of, and you've had some experience with what you thought was the most high tech cutting edge thing. Mm-hmm. When you brush shoulders with, you know, what people would call like the Holy Spirit or Christ consciousness or whatever it may be, when it somehow it like gets through the cracks and you get some sense of like, not only is this the most beautiful thing I've ever encountered, but it seems to be like directly interested in me as I am. Like it doesn't seem to be rejecting me at all. And yet just some sense of it at all gives me a feeling of like, God, I'm so fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm so fucked up. Like, yeah. And you, because maybe you've been doing a very good job at rationalizing your selfishness. Mm. You know what I mean? Maybe you've, as many of us have, you think that you've decided your self-interest is, there's something spectacular about the way you've been living your life, which is always putting you and thoughts about yourself and your importance and what you need as the nucleus of everything.
Yeah.
Even in the negative.
Yeah.
And suddenly you just start realizing like, I'm so self-absorbed. Everything. It's always, even if I'm not making it about me, it's about me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything I do, I'm thinking, what do I get out of this?
And that's what stand-up can do, or like being in the industry. You want to talk about like corrosive stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? On that side of it.
Yeah. It's capitalism, transactionalism.
Or yeah.
And then there's suddenly this sense of like, that is not the road to happiness at all. This self-serving attitude has not been doing anything for me at all. And then, anyway, the point is, I think the beginning phase is a sense of like, for lack of a better word, like shame or guilt. It's like, in the same way, like if you step on dog shit.
Yeah.
Or God help you, you get on your hand, you know, like you need to smell it and not like the smell. Mm. It's gonna get you to the grass or whatever technique you use to get dog shit off of your shoe.
Yeah.
So that initial sort of awareness, it's identified in Buddhism too. You start meditating and you just have to deal with all the decisions you've made that suck.
Yeah.
And there is no lipstick on the fish. There is no, there's
snow on the cow shit.
No snow on the cow shit.
Yeah.
But where Christianity addresses this is by saying, that's everybody.
Everybody feels.
Everybody, you can't be perfect in the world. You're not going to be perfect in the world. There is no, whatever standard you've been holding yourself to.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you've done. That Aaron was telling me.
And that's the thing of that we're all kind of born a sinner. A little bit.
And sin apparently means missing the mark. So.
That's so beautiful. That's so neutral.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, and then it's not like, okay, so go flog your back or like go beat yourself up or go torture yourself or do like, you know, carry like what her mom was doing, that kind of insane shit.
Yeah.
But rather recognize you are contending with the exact same thing everyone's contending with.
Yeah.
And then maybe you can find a way to be kinder to people around you.
Yeah.
Regardless of what side of the political spectrum they fall on, because everybody's dealing with this insane predicament.
Yeah. You ever go to AA or any 12 step type of thing?
Sure.
Yeah. It's just because it's a similar, when people get in a room and they get up and they talk about like the worst shit they ever did, and everybody's like, yeah, Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
That's it.
It's so good. We should do that just for everybody, I think. But then I'm saying that as an addict, where I'm like, I think people need that, but maybe they don't. Maybe just addicts need it.
No, I think everyone, I think wherever, what's really sad is this, what we call the puritanical attitude.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to actually align with politics in the way I once thought. I used to think the puritanical attitude was a purely conservative way of being. Sex negative squares who hate Dungeons and Dragons and goths or whatever and drugs.
You hate what they did to Dungeons and Dragons.
It's funny and awful. But then you realize, like, oh my God, when you look at the puritanical attitude of like people who are like excoriating podcasters for being Nazis for saying the wrong thing, you realize that, oh my fucking God, though the like what is being judged is different, mm-hmm. the attitude is the same thing that I recoiled at when I realized I was being judged by somebody who thought they were better than me because they went to fucking church and that I did drugs and loved psychedelics and like it was not going to wait for marriage to have sex. And you realize, though, the data set is completely different. Mm-hmm. The attitude, condescending, exclusionary, judgmental, and manipulative, and also weirdly missionary in intent. The shunning. All of that, you realize, oh my God, if there is a spirit of evil in the world, that's what it fucking looks like. Mm. Not the data set. The data set, whatever they're upset about, some legitimate things. Mm-hmm. The mechanism of reproach is so fucking identical.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And so this is why this sort of concept that the Pope is talking about and you hear about in Christianity is so, I think why there's some kind of bizarre Christian resurgence happening is because it's a great antidote, because it isn't saying everyone's right. Mm-hmm. Everyone's right. Mm-hmm. We should pretend everyone's right. We should pretend there's no transgressions. We should pretend that there aren't people who've done legitimate harm in the world.
Yeah.
But rather, first step, recognize they're like you, you're like them, and find a compassionate way of dealing with that.
To live on earth together.
And how the fuck can you do that if you haven't forgiven yourself or found some way to get forgiveness? How can you forgive anybody if you still hate yourself?
And people who miss the mark, as you say, the farthest, and then come back to self-love somehow, and that's a long journey, I think. Those are the nicest people, usually. Those are the most trustworthy people. It's like what you're talking about with the priest. You want someone who's lived a hard life, who's done the wrong thing. And that's who you want to talk to.
You know,
that's who I want to talk to.
But also the idea that like priests just were born priests. Like I'm pretty sure a lot of priests like
were born babies. I'm pretty sure a lot of them were born babies.
That is not true. That's why it's very dangerous if you have a like that. Maybe that's why they can't have sex, because their babies are always priests, and that will destroy a mama.
Really, oh, a priest baby with you on your chin on it. It's a baby.
You know, it's cool that you've been thinking. It's interesting. I guess I didn't realize that was happening.
That I've been thinking about religion.
Organized religion.
It's just because I'm around this Catholic family all the time, who are just the friends that I've made in Austin.
Me too. I'm around a Catholic family.
Yeah, you're fucking own Catholic family.
I'm around. They're all Catholic now except me.
Because you are who you're around, you know, because the people are all we have. That's the thing, Duncan. That's why I'm thinking about so critically. That's a big part of why I'm like, questioning my whole life and career and whatever is because in the three years that I've like strayed from home in pursuit of like stand up or whatever, the only thing that I give a shit about after all of it is just the people that I've met. And it's not enough to keep me in Texas, you know what I mean? Or wherever. It doesn't even, or New York or Massachusetts or like the weird places that I've gone. You know what I mean? Like all that I've gotten out of it are these people that I've just, and I love them, these people that I've met. You know what I mean? I love them so much, and I wish they all lived in the same goddamn town with Elliot Smith in the cave.
Yeah.
But they don't, you know? And so you end up, I'm questioning, like, if it's, I think people are just the only thing, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I've been thinking about organized religion, which is so fucking random, but it's just because, yeah, the people who are my community right now happen to be Catholic, you know? And so that's the lens by which they view the world, and I love them so much that I want to look through their lens, you know?
Well, look, judge a tree by the fruit. You know, I let me tell you, there is, like, I just, the way my brain works is I just have to accept things as they are, regardless of how, like, much that kind of, like, fucks with my head. And I can't deny, like, every encounter I've had with people in our community, people who, like, go to the Vatican, hang out with cardinals and stuff, and is completely the opposite of what I thought they were going to be like.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm having to deal with
it. They're smart and charismatic.
And sweet.
Yeah.
And really, like, real sweet. And, like, and not, like, some kind of, like, trick that you might experience if you are getting, like, recruited into something that doesn't feel like that. There's no love bombing happening either. There's no. None of the classic cult signs. That's just this, like loosely connected group of people, some of them more connected than others, who have, like, found this philosophy they're all sort of aligning on that's really old.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I am having to contend with that a little bit in my own head, because it's, like, it's so beautiful. Mm. And I have to, you know, I might have to eat shit a little bit, because...
What do you mean?
Well, because... I think of all forms of Christianity, the one that I've been most judgmental of is Catholicism, for no reason at all, other than what we all, well, for reasons, because we all hear about, like, the child abuse shit.
Yeah.
And pretty much anything that's hurting kids, it's like, I'm out. Yeah. And but then obviously that is not, like, doctrine that, yeah. And I've talked to, like Catholics, and they hate it. And their explanation of why is so brilliant, you know, that isn't what I thought, which isn't the repressed priest thing, but more in line with, like, this is what happens when power imbalances are happening inside of the structure of Catholicism, mm-hmm. where people are not, or, like, have too much power.
And yeah.
I don't know why. Yeah. I don't know why, but yeah, what the fuck? Why are these Catholics, what's going on with these Catholics being all nice? You want to see something that'll make you cry? Did you see the
pull up the sex robot.
This is actually...
When's that going to stop being funny?
Pull up the sex robot that cries when you break up.
Pull up the one that jacks off when you break up.
Pull up, like, Pope... I don't know why I went on a Pope kick. It was on Reddit. Pope answers question.
You love Reddit.
Pull up kid who loses son, or kid who lost his dad, ask Pope a question. This fucking
I'm not allowed on Reddit anymore.
What? You just...
I've decided that.
This one?
Little boy asked Pope Francis, is my dad in heaven? This will fucking kill you.
Those with Robin Hood gold.
What? What's up with the Robin Hood commercials? They're so weird. Mm. Remember when they robbed them? The beginning part they cut out, which is the kid wouldn't go up there. He was just crying and he couldn't ask the question.
Bell's faith. In 2018, a shy 8-year-old boy named Emmanuel Balderi met Pope Francis. And in that moment, something extraordinary happened. Something that would shape his soul forever. Now, at 16, Emmanuele vividly recalls the embrace, the words of comfort, and the incredible bond he shared with the pontiff.
This is going to be amazing if he's in jail.
The children of Rome's Corviale
from
district,
jail, he told us what it was like.
Emmanuele stood at the microphone, too overcome with emotion.
Just play what the kid did. We don't need the narration. What the fuck? Why is there always some dude who ruins everything?
In that
nobody needs it. Pope, get out of there, man. Find the other one.
But then when it came time to ask the question, I felt a strong anguish.
Now go with the actual Pope talking about, I mean, not no offense, that is the kid when he's older, but, like, Jesus, who edited that shit? There, Pope gives USA Today. God damn it. Why is there always somebody who's... A boy in a blue shirt is sitting here. You can see his hand as it moves in front of his face. He walks to the microphone.
Self-insertion.
This is so sad.
Aww.
He's worried his papa isn't in heaven because he's an atheist. And technically, your papa's nowhere based on your papa's flaws.
Donkey. Little boy. Oh.
I know. He killed me. Okay, so the Pope is saying a short time. Okay, go back a little bit, Josh. You're not helping this man. Never felt more. I asked Emmanuel permission to repeat his question in public, and he said yes. But he said, please put piano music to it. So I'll say it out loud. A short time ago, my dad died. Papa.
That's gay for father.
He was an atheist, but he had all four of his children baptized. He was a good man. Is my dad in heaven?
The violin. This is so hard to take.
What a beautiful thing that his son says of his father. He was good. That man gave a beautiful testimony to his children. For his children to be able to say he was a good man. But unfortunately, his father is burning in hell. I mean, up until that point, it was great, but why? It's so sad he said that, though. I mean, what the fuck? Really? Are you kidding? No, obviously he said that, like, obviously you know what he said. But,
what did he say? He said that.
Keep playing. I'm sorry. Keep playing. I just feel weird.
Don't
the
feel
violin's
weird.
Killing me. That he has inherited. It's a beautiful thing that he has inherited the strength of his dad. And also that he has the courage to cry before all of us. If that man was capable of raising children like this. It's true. He was a good man. He was a good man. God is the one who decides who goes to heaven. But how does God's heart react to a dad like that? How? What do you think? To an audience interaction. A dad's heart. God has the heart of a father. And faced with a dad, a non-believer, who is able to have his children baptized and to give them that courage. Do you think that God would be capable of leaving him far from him? Do you think so? No! See, this is a problem. Okay, that's beautiful, but I do have a problem with this where I'm just going, you know.
Because it's just the baptized thing?
No, it's like, couldn't God have, like, maybe killed his dad?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's God's plan. And then they're always like, well,
that's where
God's
that
plan.
I mean, like, there's got to be a part of you. You know, like, Sarah Silverman used to have this great joke, which is like,
there's so many great God jokes.
Make a wish, kids.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Well, how did it go? How did that joke go?
Like, I don't know.
Make a wish, kids. I mean, well, there is one wish. That...
There is one wish.
So fucked up.
Why'd you have to call it that? She goes, it should have been called Make a Different Wish.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I guess, like, to me, Ruby, I'm so, like, I don't, like, I'm an orphan. Like, both of my parents are dead.
Yeah.
And, well, now I have a family.
Yeah.
But anytime I go chasing after some place, that place minus the community that you're talking about, it's just like a set.
I worry about like the wound, like the dad shaped hole or whatever, the thing you're talking about, the orphan wound, and you go running into the world. And I think that it tricks you and it can trick you over and over and over again. And it's like tricks you with like, you're filling it with alcohol, you're filling it with, you're smoking all the time or stand up, unfortunately, like stand up, you know what I mean? But like you can use you can treat anything in your life badly if you're using it to distract yourself from your big old orphan hole. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's so scary. It's this thing. I feel like I've tricked myself over and over again into the thing that actually isn't for me. I'm just looking for authority.
What if it's not your dad, though?
My dad or whatever. But
what
like
if it isn't
wound.
A dad-shaped hole?
Yeah.
Well, that's the other trick, isn't it? The other trick is you want an explanation.
Yeah.
For the
like
suffering.
A narrative, yeah.
The story. Yeah, find so a reason
yeah.
that this neurosis exists.
Yeah.
And then if you have that reason, you know, it's a less of a chaotic world.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my God.
Yeah.
What if that's not it at all?
Yeah.
Do you ever think about, I mean, not to say that like, clearly these are where we crystallize as humans and those,
yeah.
but...
Well, that's the thing with like that we're saying with, I guess that's what I've been thinking about recently, because with Catholicism, that's the thing of like when you're born, it's just that's the tumble and all the mistakes you are making
yeah.
just because you had to be born. So, you know what I mean? And all the wounds that you have are just the wounds that happen when you fall out of the ethereal heaven or whatever and have to be on earth with the dirt and the bugs and the capitalism and the presidents and the knives and the blood.
Yeah.
And then so inevitably you get wounded no matter. And some wounds are bigger than others.
Take up your cross. That I think is a real divergent point between Buddhism and Christianity is that whereas Buddhism kind of deconstructs the identity so you really realize, like, it's not a dad size hole. It's a universe size hole that you're confused with. but whereas with Christianity, that's where they just split. Because Christianity is like, no.
Yeah.
Just forget about, like, it's not about the whole.
Yeah.
it's about the soul. It's about Jesus. It's about connecting
that
to that
on the
energy.
Back of a car. It's not about the whole. It's about the soul.
It's not the size of the whole. It's the size of the soul. You're the best. Thanks for coming on here.
Yes.
And you must not stop doing stand up. You're so funny. Have you been headlining a little bit, Ruby? You got any shows
yeah,
coming up?
Well, I was not right now. I need to figure out how to. I need to do that. But I just had a bunch of. I had the Don't Tell set come out, so that's cool.
Where is it? Where can
it's
people
just
see
on
it?
YouTube. The cool. Don't Tell took footage of me that is very nicely lit and sounds nice, and it's 7 minutes.
Oh my God!
Good stand-up.
That is so great. All the links you need to find it will be at DougAndTrussell.com. Come see us in Seattle. You can see Ruby live, and she's brilliantly funny, and thank you so much for coming on the show. All right! That was Ruby Setnick. Everybody, all the links you need to find her will be at DougAndTrussell.com or just do a Google search. Remember, if you want commercial-free episodes of the DTFH, all you have to do is become a member. And if you're listening to this, go to patreon.com/DTFH for commercial-free episodes. I gotta get out of here now! Goodbye!